got something on my heart this morning. I want you to go there with me. 1 Peter chapter number 5, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's not my life verse, but it's a verse that's in some days of trouble and days of heartache, I've been able to depend on this verse. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Well, glory. Did you see that? That ought to encourage every believer here in this room. I want to preach this morning on this thought. God cares for you. This is a short verse, not long, very brief. It's actually a simple verse. How many of y'all think it's a simple verse? It is. It's not complex. Don't take a lot to understand it, but it's a transcendent verse because it says that God cares for you. I want to give you three things by way of introduction about this verse. I'm just going to do an exegesis of this verse. I'm going to break it down for you. Just preach from one verse and break it down for you. Number one, if we just read the first part of it, casting all your care upon him, that'd be a good verse if it didn't have the last part. Somebody help me preach. Number one, I want to talk to you about God's ability. This right here makes me want to shout and take a lap. God is listening to our prayers. Woo! Hey, can I say to you, he's always available. Somebody help me preach. He's listening morning, noon, night, and he's available to your call. There's a lot of people, especially in these big metropolitan cities like Atlanta, New York, and Chicago. They spend a whole bunch of money going and finding them a psychiatrist. Come on, help me preach. And they're laying down on their couch, telling them the whole world. And them suckers don't know a thing.
Right. Amen.
They're good listeners, but they can't help you. Right. Somebody help me preach.
Amen.
By the way, I found that the greatest one to call on is not a psychiatrist, but on Jesus.
Amen.
Man, I'm about to preach. And then there's some people, I'll probably get in trouble about this, but I'm back and I want to get in trouble. You know, they try the religious thing. You know, they go to the confession booth.
Amen, preacher.
And then people you're talking to, they ain't nothing but a bunch of sinners themselves.
Amen.
Most of them drunk most of the time. Found out a lot of them's pedophiles, perverts. Good preaching anyhow.
Amen.
Why in the world would you want to get into a booth and talk to somebody that's as wicked as you are? I want to tell you, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Hey, I go in his booth every day. Somebody say amen. I confess to him. I tell him I love him. I tell him I care. I tell him that he's the best, that he never leave me nor forsake me. Somebody help me preach. Whew. Come on now. I'm preaching. I'm going to make a statement. Write this down. You'll like this. I want you to write this down somewhere. He said, cast your care. Cast all your care upon me. I want to make a statement. I'm going to slow down and say this. Listen carefully. I like this myself. You were never designed to carry your burden, but you were designed to cast your burden. Maybe I'll say that again. You were never designed never to carry it, but you were designed to cast it. Somebody say amen. I'm glad I've got a burden-bearing God. I'm glad I got a God that has ability to listen to me. He loves me. He cares for me. He looks after me. He's a wonderful God. He's a supreme God. He's a sovereign God. He's in control of everything. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes some of us need to just come around this altar and say, Lord, here's my burden. Lord, I'm casting it on you because I'm not designed to carry it. I've been trying to. You know what a lot of y'all's problem is now? Come on now. You try to be a fixer. Come on now. I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand, but I bet you a bunch of you would raise your hand if I asked you if you was a fixer. I want to tell you what, you don't have the ability to fix nothing. But he's got the ability. He's listening. He cares. He loves you. He's on the throne. He's a, well, Lord, I ever present help in the time of need.
Amen.
Am I preaching?
Yes,
sir. I'm trying to get to the message. I ain't got there yet. Number two, not only do I see his ability, cast all your care upon him, then this got me here. Then I see an amazement. For he careth for you. How many can look back at your life and right now you stand amazed that there is a God that cares for you? Hey, low down as we are, some of us is more low down than others. He still cares for you.
Amen.
Hey, backslidden as you may be, and wicked as your thoughts might be, he still loves you. Whew. Now you might say, that don't float my boat. That floats my boat because I know where I came from. How many of you remember your lifestyle back before you got? Come on, tell me now. Have you remember how wicked you were and how bad you were and how fallen you were? But God cares. That amazes me. I stand here right now telling you I'm amazed that a God in heaven would like and love some. So I'm talking about a refuge from the chain gang. That's what my mom called me. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Now listen carefully. Listen. I want you to hear this part. See, God doesn't much care for cancer unless you get it. And then he cares. Somebody help me preach right there. I mean, that's a disease. But when one of his children gets it, he cares about your cancer and cares about you. Somebody help me preach. Isn't that good? I'm going to preach some more. God don't even care about old age until we get old. I tell you something. Hallelujah. And some of you are laughing at me. You ain't old yet, but you're 103. But anyhow, I have found out since I got a little older, boy, he cares. Man, I tell you what, I feel like most of the time, not today, but I feel like I'm about 50 most of the time. You say, why? Because God cares for me even in my old age. I was young and I'm now old. I never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Somebody help me preach. Boy, I'm going some. Y'all stay with me. I'm starting to get ready to preach in a minute. I don't really care a whole lot. When Marguerite says, and I know when I meet her in a couple of days, she says, I want to go buy a dress. I hate the mall. I hate outlets. Jeff, I hate outlets. she come up and she said, "Won't you go with me and help me find a dress?" I said, "I ain't going with you to help you find no dress because I'm not real interested in dresses." However, when she gets it on her, then I am interested. Somebody help me. What are you saying? I've got a God that when you get infected or messed up in any situation, he cares for you. He cares for what you're going through. He's an ever-present help in the time of need. Amen. Now, here's the message. Some of you probably think, I'm glad you're getting there. Now, I want you to know, thirdly, his ability, the amazement, but this part is what I'm going to preach on. The author of this verse. Now we know the Holy Spirit inspired Peter, but Peter was the author of the verse. He was the human instrument that wrote the verse down. And by the way, God couldn't have selected a better individual than Peter. How many in this room are like me? Whew. You can identify with him. Any of y'all ever stuck your foot in your mouth? Any of y'all been, I identify with him. If there's anybody in the Bible I identify with that guy. But God, Peter knew that God cared for him. Can I give you five things? And I'll be done. I just want to show you what he cares for in the life of Peter. It amazes me. I'm about ready. I wish I felt better. I'd run. Number one, he cared, listen to this, about Peter's freedom and fellowship. Hey, Peter was a fisherman. He was a rough dude. He was a filthy mouth guy because we done read several times in the Bible where he cussed. And some of y'all won't admit it, but you cuss too. If Peter was here today, y'all call him a dirty, filthy mouth drunk. He didn't have any college. He wasn't too smart. They even said in the book of Acts he was ignorant and unlearned. But I'll tell you what happened to Peter. Jesus passed by. How many of you remember in your life when you were lost, undone, on your way to hell? Jesus passed by. We find that account. You don't have to turn to it. I'll tell you the story. If you want to, you can. It's found in chapter 5 of Luke. That's his conversion. Jesus passed by. Peter was out fishing. He didn't catch nothing. By the way, without Christ, you can do nothing. He caught nothing. He's out there washing his nets and cleaning his nets. Well, glory. You know what Jesus did? Y'all read it in Luke 5. This is good right here, Chad. Jesus, I was told when I read a commentary, anytime they went fishing, there was about 200 and 66 boats on that sea at that time. And if you read the account, Jesus got up and got in his boat. Some of y'all about ready to go to sleep, but let me tell you about it. There's a day in your life, if you're saved, God came to your boat and got in your boat. Peter was hell bound. He wasn't any good. He was on his way to hell. But he saw something. Jesus, go out and cast your nets back out. And in the heat of the day, they got so many fish that the net broke. And when he got back to Jesus, he said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I want you to know, you're going to get saved this morning. You're going to repent of your sins. That ain't preached very much now, but we need to turn from our sin and turn to God. And he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Here's what Jesus told him. Fear not, Peter, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Whew. January 31st, 1973, hey, something happened. Jesus climbed up in John Smith's boat. Whoa! You said, does he care? He cares so much he came to my boat. Like Roger says, he came to me. I wasn't seeking him. I didn't want him. I didn't care about him. But I want you to know, he cared about me and came where I was. Somebody ought to shout. Came my boat, saved me. And told me, henceforth, you're going to catch men. 6 months later, got called to preach. I want you to know, some of these preachers say they're looking for somewhere to preach. Can I tell you when I got called to preach? I was in the pulpit every Sunday. I started preaching at the church. I probably was a little guilty of being a novice. But I'll tell you what God done to me, Chad. 6 months after I got saved, I got hooked up with a church called Leatherwood Baptist Church. And they said, will you preach for us? We've had 37 guys come out here and candidate, and we voted all 37 men. They turned it down. Would you preach for us? I said, I'll preach every Sunday. I preached 6 months for them. Then one day they came and said, you want to be our pastor? Now don't fault me. I said, what's that mean? I didn't really have a clue. They said, we want you. That's the only time I ever got 100%. 19 out of 19. Of course, most of them were old and couldn't hear and couldn't see. What are you saying, preacher? When God gets in your boat, when God gets in your life, when God saves your soul, he'll do things through you. He'll accomplish things through you. You'll never thought he would ever. He'll give you freedom. He'll get you freedom from sin. He'll deliver you from sin. He'll deliver from your past sin. That's justification. He's delivered from the present sin. That's sanctification. One of these days he's coming back and he's going to deliver me from the presence of sin. How many of you glad he got up in your boat? Amen. Number two, this right here. You could ignore this if you wasn't looking carefully. He also cared about Peter's family. So, well, I don't think y'all got that. There ain't nothing any dearer to you outside your relationship with God than your relationship with your family. Am I preaching? Hey, if you got a good boy, good girl, somebody loves God and they're in church and doing their best, you ought to shout glory. I tell you what, his brother got saved. His brother was instrumental in him getting saved. One day, his mother-in-law got sick with a fever. You remember the story? Now, boy, I'm going to get in trouble again. I'm staying in trouble this morning, Rich. The Catholics say that Peter was the first pope. Right, Wayne? That's what they say. Well, popes don't get married. Right? Well, Peter had a mother-in-law. I want you to know something, you bunch of idiots. If you got a mother-in-law and no wife, you're crazy. I shouldn't have called you idiot. Mark getting off of a thing. But it was good, wasn't it? He held his mother-in-law. Can I read a verse? I could quote it, but I'd rather read it. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hurry. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. If you're there, say amen. And verse number 14. Go on. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Listen to this. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Boy, I tell you, that right there helps me. He's an effective high priest. Listen. I look back at Cindy. Cindy, I know you've had a battle for a year and a half. But I want you to know something. He feels what you feel. As people in this room's lost loved ones in the last 18 months during all this bad time, I'm going to tell you something. He feels what you feel. I don't know if that does anything for you or not. Let me tell you what he feels. He hurts because you're hurt. He feels what you feel. Thank God. Somebody say thank God. Let me give you a third thing. I'm gonna let you turn to this because I want you to see it. You might not believe it if you don't see it. Turn to Matthew 17. How many have heard? Number three. He cares, listen to this, about your finances. Somebody said, well, God don't care about our finances. Oh, yeah, he cares about your finances. You said, prove that to me. Look at Matthew 17. If you're there, say amen. And verse 24, by the way, giving if shall give you, pressed down in good measure, God will give back to you. See, one day, the IRS came by. Jay, the IRS came by Peter and won some taxes. The idea, look, chapter 17, and look at verse 24. I'm about ready to shout right here. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute? Hey, boys, how about Jesus? Does he pay tribute? Do you pay tribute? And he said, yes. And when he was coming into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do kings of the earth take customs or tribute, or their own children, or of strangers? And Peter said unto him, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. Now, notice what he said. Boy, this makes me so happy, I can't hardly stand it. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast a hook, and take up the fish that cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give it unto them for me and thee. Fair little story. Jesus said, you need some money? Go fishing. Amen. And notice something. He didn't, only thing he had a hook. He didn't have no bait on it. Now, I want you to know, you're crazy, man. You go fishing without a bait. Hello? Somebody left you in your head and your brain fell out. But I want you to know something. He went down there and didn't even have a bluegill to put on it. He didn't have a plug to put on it. He put in just an old hook. That's just about like old John Smith preaching with my old Zepco 33. Somebody say amen for Zepco 33. And get me a big largemouth bass. And out of it come a coin. Somebody help me preach. Let me tell you something. I got a God that cares for your finances. How many in this room, you just right now ought to say, thank you, Jesus, for supplying my need. Thank you for my nice home. Thank you for my job. Thank you for the finances. Thank you for how you bless me. Thank you. And now I'll give you a little extra something. Can I give you a little extra? You know what God told us? Somebody asked me, how's God blessing this church and giving us, helping us financially? I'll tell you how he does. We go out and catch fish. And those fish come in, and then they pay their tithe. And our needs supply. Somebody ought to run around here. Now, how many of you ever been in real dark times in your life when you didn't have a dime, yet God supplied your need? I remember this story. I read it somewhere. I don't know where I read it, but I wrote it down. A little woman was in a housing development. She was dirt poor. And she'd get out on her porch every morning. And by the way, she had an atheist that lived beside of her. And she would pray. She prayed for him. She prayed for God to take care of her needs. And prayed every morning, Lord, help me, take care of me. And he'd come out and cuss her and say, you're a fool for calling on God. And he thought he was going to trick her. So he went down to the grocery store, bought two bags of groceries, and put it out on her porch and got in behind a bush to watch her. And she got that groceries and said, well, thank you, God, for supplying the need. And that atheist jumped out and said, God didn't do it, I did it. And she looked at him and said, oh, yeah, God can use the devil's money too. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know when God's going to do it. But he will take care of you financially. He will get you through. He will supply your need. You ought to raise your hand in heaven and thank God he cares. Number four, this is my favorite one. This one helped me. He even cares when you fail. Come on now. Anybody in here ever failed? One time Peter came up to him and the Lord was telling him he was going to go die. And you know what Peter done that way? He rebuked Jesus. Someone help me. And Jesus said, you're going to deny. They're going to be a preordained rooster come. And you're going to deny Christ three times. He said, I ain't never going to do that. And you know how rough and wicked and what a failure was when he was in the garden of Gethsemane. Peter was in there. You know what Peter done? He wanted to take vengeance. Done cut off a boy's ear called Malchus. You know what Jesus done? Put the ear back on it. I'm going somewhere. Y'all might like kissing men. Any failures in the building? He sat by the enemy's fire. And they asked him, are you a Christian? He said, no. Second time, are you a Christian? He said, no. Third time, they said, you're a Christian, aren't you? Because your speech betrayed you. And Peter wept bitterly. This right here, can I run? This helps me. You ever failed. Y'all, any of y'all ever failed? I mean, since you've been a Christian. You ever failed? I have. I ain't proud of it. I don't want to fail. I ain't proud of ever falling. But I have failed. When Jesus rose from the grave, you know what he told Mary? Boy, you ready to run, son? You can run if you want to. Go tell thy brethren. Listen to this last phrase. And Peter. I sometimes have disappointed God. I've disappointed my family. I've disappointed myself. But I want you to know I got a God that cares. And he, you know what Jesus said to him one time? He said, Peter, I pray for you that your faith fail not. Man, I can't hardly take it. There are people in this room right now, you know it, you know it, you know it, you know it. You failed. But you ought to raise your hand this morning and thank God he cares even when we fail. I'm glad he don't cast me off. I'm glad he ain't a Baptist, because they ain't going to give you a second chance. But God does. And then he cares about your future. I'll just do this while I'm down here. You remember after the resurrection, Peter, hey, how many of y'all believe life sometimes goes in full circles?
Yes, sir.
Anybody y'all believe that? Peter met him the first time while he's fishing. And his last experience with him was when he was fishing. And he didn't catch nothing this time either. And he fished, and he went fishing in the nude. Who does that? Said the Bible said he was naked. And then Jesus come to him. Said, go back out there. Go fishing again. And he caught fish to where the boat started sinking. And they got 153 fish. Now, I'm about ready to get excited. Do you know how many fish was in the Sea of Galilee? How many species at that time? 153. You know how many nations was on the planet at that time? 153. Red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight. And here's what he done. I'm about ready to get happy. Hey, Peter, do you love me?
Yes, Lord.
Do you?
Yes, Lord.
But you know Jesus done it again. Peter, do you love me?
Yep.
Amen. Last time, Peter, do you love me?
Amen.
And then you know what he said to Peter? Feed my flock. I'm glad for a God that's got your future in his hands. I'm glad for a God that cares for your future. Hey, listen to me. Well, somebody help me preach. Is that good preaching or not? I got a God that cares about you and me.
Amen.
And not just a few days.
Right.
He got up on the day of Pentecost and preached the gospel. 3,000 people got saved. He was given the keys of the kingdom. The next time you start wallowing in pity, and we do, I do anyway, maybe y'all don't. Remember, he cares for your freedom. He cares for your family. He cares about your finances. He cares about your failures. And here's the good part, Doc. He cares about our future. And by the way, I know when you ain't preached for 10 days, you want to preach some more. Can I tell y'all something? If you're saved, how many people are saved? Raise your hand. If you're saved, know it. If you don't know, don't raise them. Can I tell you about your future? This world's a mess. But the next thing's going to happen is you're going to get raptured out of here. You're going to get a new body. You're going to live in heaven for those 7 years in paralysis. And then you're going to mount up a white horse at the end of 7 years. And you're going to come back with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you're going to reign and rule with Christ. Somebody help me preach. Hey, somebody said the other day, you people ain't got much of a future. The outlook may be dark, but I want you to know the outlook's right. Christ is coming back. Bow your head with me. I'm finished. And I want everyone to be honest. How many's here this morning and you say, preacher, I'm lost, I'm still lost, I'm bound in sin, but I don't want to go to hell. And you told me he loves me this morning. How many right now, raise your hand, say, I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me, slip up your hand. Anybody? God bless that hand. Anybody else? I don't want to go to hell. Man, I need to be saved. I need the Lord. The Lord brought me here. How many of you, maybe you got a family crisis. Somebody in your family is going through it. And you want to pray for your family. You want God to help you. Raise your hand if you got some family problems. Family crisis. Maybe just sickness. How many right now? Say, preacher, I'm going through it. Can I have some financial problems? I'm hurting financially. I need God to help me. Raise your hand. Come on, raise them. Raise them. That's good. I wonder how many right now say, preacher, some men. I'm not going to lie to you. I ain't going to lie to God, but I failed God. I have. And I need a second chance, and I need the Lord to help me. If you failed God, raise your hand. Slip up, come on in. You be honest. You be honest. Yeah, you be honest. You be honest. How many of you feel sometime, listen to me carefully, you feel like you ain't worth a lot. You feel like, man, maybe God put me on the shelf. But this morning he's trying to say to you, do you love me? Let me say it again. Do you love me? Do you love me? You know what God's saying to you? You need to pick yourself up and feed your sheep and get back in the work of God. How many of you slipped spiritually and you ain't been working for God like you ought to? And you know you're wrong. Slip your hand. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Stand up with me. Can I ask you something? Will you do this for the Lord this morning? Because he does care. Will you come up around the altar, whatever you raise your hand about, and just get on the altar this morning and cast your care upon him? Would you do that this morning? You ought to already be up here doing that. Our Father, I pray this morning for the lost that's here. I pray for the Christian who feel like nobody cares. But Lord, you do. I pray you touch them this morning. I pray you help them this morning. Lord, bring them forward today. Everyone that raised your hand, I'll be up here saying, God, I know you care. I'm casting my care on you. Lord, touch now in Jesus' name. Amen. People are walking now.